We are living in a time in our country where people, unfortunately, are turning their backs on following God and religion in general. According to an Associated Press article and Pew Research Center poll, this was at the end of last year, 2025, when people were asked, what is your religion? Those in the United States that say they have no religious affiliation is 29% of the population. 29% of the population who say they have no religious affiliation. That is about 3 out of every 10 people in the U.S. that they say they don't associate with a religion. Some of them call themselves atheists, others agnostics, and others nothing in particular in regards to religion. In other words, they do not attend a church, they do not read the Bible, and unfortunately, many of them would say they do not believe in God. Spiritually speaking, described in the scriptures, they are on a road of darkness. Bible prophecy tells us, as we draw closer to the end of the age, before Jesus Christ returns, that the truth will be challenged. And that is already happening, as more and more people reject God's laws and they reject God's word. Religion in general, and especially God's word, is being rejected more and more, just as Bible prophecy tells us it will be happening. The Bible calls it a world of darkness, as people fall away and reject God and his laws. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4 to begin the sermon this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 4, and this section of scripture is a contrast. There's a contrast of two roads that we can take. One is a road of following God, and one is a road of falling away from God. And this particular verse, Proverbs 4, verse 19, is one of those contrast verses. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 19, and this, what we're going to read, describes two paths that we can take. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. Now, darkness, we see the word wicked here, and parallel words in the Hebrew are sin and iniquity. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They don't know what makes them stumble in the path of life. And unfortunately, they take the wrong road. Now, the contrast of the wicked who live and walk in darkness, the contrast is found in verse 18. Notice verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. The path of the just, those who are following God and his way of life, is described as like the shining sun, or as the marginal reference points out, like light. And that's the path that all of us want to be on, that path of light. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Those who keep God's commandments and walk in his ways are like shining lights in a world of darkness. And that's the path that we want to stay on and to shine ever more brighter. Please turn back a few pages to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And notice verse 105. We want to be staying on the path of light. And this verse describes how we stay on that path of light. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 105. Again, how we stay on the path of light. Verse 105, your word, God's word, the scriptures, your word is a lamp to my feet. God's word gives us light. It gives us light on the path to keep going forward. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is our path of light in a darkened world. And his word can help us shine even brighter in the darkness. Now, we recently celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, where we focused on the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church and how wonderful changes and growth took place in the church in the first century AD. And we also learned more of our need to be living God's way of life. We have the opportunity now, after the Feast of Pentecost, to shine our lights to God's way of life and to be living examples of the truth. Living examples of the truth by applying His Word in our lives. The title of today's sermon is Walking in the Light of God's Word. Walking in the Light of God's Word. Today we will examine the importance of our examples to the world by living our lives according to God's Word, the truth. That's what we want to be doing. We want to be examples to the rest of the world of God's way of life, as God puts it, the way of light. And there's another way to put it, and that is preaching the gospel message by our example. And here's where we can be personally involved in the gospel message. Now, we know the church is preaching the gospel message by methods of the literature, by the Beyond Today television program around the world, not just in the United States, but in various many countries around the world. But we can also be part of the gospel message by means of our examples to other people. Let's drop down to verse number 130 of the same chapter, Psalm 119, verse number 130. The entrance, and this is talking about the entrance into the mind, the entrance of your words gives light. And God's word does give light to our minds. It helps us to understand His truth. And God opens our mind to His plan of salvation and what's going to happen in the future when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding of God to the simple. You know, I don't think any of us think of ourselves as great people in this world. You know, we're not the leaders and we're not the professors and, you know, all kinds with titles, etc. We think of ourselves as simple people. But God's word gives us great understanding in this world, especially of His truth. Verse 131, when the psalmist thinks of the entrance of God's word giving light to our minds and giving us understanding, notice what he says in verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for your commandments. He desired more of God's truth and God's word in his mind to have that understanding. And that's the way we should be as well as we continue on this path of light. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15 this time. And notice verse number 9. This is another one of those contrast verse, and the course of life is contrasted in what we're going to read. Proverbs chapter 15. And verse number 9. Verse number 9, the way or the road, the path of the wicked. And I'll remind you that that word wicked parallels other Hebrew words of sin and iniquity. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had the Jeremiah Bible study on chapters 6 and 7. And remember in chapter 7, Jeremiah was standing in front of the temple, the temple that Solomon built, and he was giving a powerful sermon. And he was trying to get the people that were gathered around the temple to repent. And then he went through, as we read that chapter, talking about the abominations of the people of his day, that they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, that they were, you know, setting up idols in the very tent, in the very temple, and not only that, passing their sons and daughters through the fire in pagan worship. You talk about abominations, they were doing it. And it says here in verse number 9, God hates those kind of abominations. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But notice the last part of verse number 9. But he loves him who follows righteousness. And what is righteousness? Psalm 119, verse 172, all of your commandments are righteousness. God loves when we follow his commandments. And we can actually build a relationship with him as we keep his commandments. God tells us in verse 9, he loves him who follows righteousness. Our relationship is strengthened with God for following his commandments, the way of light. In contrast, lawlessness is sin, and sin is the opposite of righteousness. For a person to be righteous today, he obeys God's law of love. Now, God is the one that sets the standards. He's the one that, through the scriptures, shows us how to live by means of keeping his commandments. But typically, mankind throughout history has rejected God's authority. You know, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and coming down through history, we see the way that the world has been. War, people that are suffering, all kinds of misery throughout mankind's history, in general speaking. And that has been because mankind in general has denied God's authority. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I want to read verses 28 and 29. You could ask the question, why is our world, and why has our world been like this throughout 6,000 years of history, why has it been morally corrupt? Well, the Apostle Paul shows here why the world is the way it is, and it reflects today's world as well. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28. Romans 1, verse 28, the Apostle Paul writing, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you know, rejecting God, not wanting to have anything to do with God, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You know, again, going back to Jeremiah's time when he was preaching to the people of Judah in Jerusalem, trying to get them to repent. And they had a chance to repent, but they were walking away from God. And because of that, God allowed them to do the things that they were doing, the abominable things. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Then he goes on to describe many of the things that are not fitting, beginning in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. And he goes on and on with more descriptions. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud. And that's unfortunately the way mankind has been throughout his history, and it's getting worse and worse in our day and time. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, Paul says, they rejected God. And this is the reason why we see a lack of morality in society. Man has rejected God as the authority of how to govern his life. And when we look around at our world today, God has been taken out of many of our schools, out of our public buildings. Many people are told that they cannot pray at public events. Even most religions have rejected God as the authority of how to govern their lives, merely giving lip service and not really keeping God's word and his commandments, especially the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath day. Let's go back to verse number 18 of chapter 1. Verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's a good description of our history of this world, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Then he goes on to talk about the reasons why that man has been the way that he has been. Let's drop down to verse number 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. You know, so talking about idol worship, you know, forming the idols out of men, also out of animals, etc., and worshiping them. Into an image like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the first part of verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. So this is basically, when you read through this section of Scripture, a history of man's turning from God, which leads to an immoral lifestyle. You can kind of see the downward path as you read through this section of Scripture. First, worthless thinking, then moral insensitivity, then religious folly, seen in idol worship. Man throughout the ages has rejected God as the authority of how to govern their lives. And it's increasing in today's world. But this is something that I want to point out that's very, very important for all of us. In the midst of moral corruption, God has called people to show the world that man can live by God's standards. And he's called us today to be those examples of living a moral life, to show that his way of life works for the good of everyone, and to show by the light of their lives that moral conduct does exist in this world. God's people should have the highest standard of moral conduct, and we should be people of respectable character. And that's our job. And we're going to see that as we go through this, more of this sermon today. God and Christ have given us work to do, and that is to be examples to the rest of the world. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And you'll recall this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ was speaking to the disciples. He wasn't speaking to the masses or the multitudes. He was speaking only with the disciples, and he was teaching them God's way of life. Matthew chapter 5, and I want to focus on verses 14 through 16, but let's pick it up in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. Matthew writes in verse 1 and 2, and seeing the multitudes, he, speaking of Christ, went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So Christ gets away from all the multitudes that were following him, and he goes up on the side of a mountain where the disciples come to him, and he begins to teach them. And in this teaching here in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount is teaching for us. He's teaching to us as disciples as well. Verse 2, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and we have from verses 3 through 12 what we call the Beatitudes. Then I want to drop down to verse number 14. And again, he's speaking to disciples. He's speaking to us. Verse 14, you disciples, are the light of the world. And light attracts attention. It attracts attention, and that's what we should be doing as disciples as well. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, if you ever go by a mountain area and you see lights flashing in the distance on those mountains, it catches your attention. And that's the point that Christ is making here. A light catches attention. It gets your attention. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We don't want to hide our lights, in other words. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. You know, if you go into a dark room and you've got a candle or you've got some kind of lamp, you don't put it under a desk or a table where it doesn't reflect light throughout the room. You want to be able to see. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Putting that light on the lampstand where it can reflect and glow throughout the room. And the point is, our light should be glowing and reflecting to all people. Then he wraps it up here in verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. The world is in darkness. But Christ says, you disciples, are light. And we are to be light by our example. You know, the world is in darkness, and even technology is leading us into more darkness when it's used the wrong way. You know, there's a lot of talk about the technology and the AI and such as that, and much, some of that can be very, very good and can be helpful, but it can also be used in a bad way. And unfortunately, technology is being used in the wrong way in many, many cases. And our nation and our people today are failing and becoming a poor example to the rest of the world because of a lack of God's law in their lives. You know, people around the world, they see the news broadcasts. You know, I can tell you, Lydia and I have traveled throughout Latin America extensively in past years. And we'd be in people's houses or on the road, wherever it's at, and maybe in a hotel room in a big city in Latin America. And you turn on the news broadcast, and I'd always kind of cringe when I'd see, you know, where they're showing rioting in the streets of the United States of America. And, you know, people in the country where I'm visiting see that. And I've actually had people come up to me and say, do you see much rioting in the streets when you're, you know, going out through, where, at that time I was living in Michigan. Well, no, but that is rampant in other parts of the country. And it can be anywhere in the country. And people see that around the world. And it's not a good example. But again, we have been called, you and I have been called, to be different and to be examples as a witness of God's way of life. That's our work. You know, I don't think we think about that enough, that God has called us to do that. And we have help to do that as well. We'll talk about that more as we move on. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. And I want to read verses 13 and 14. We actually went through this section of Scripture in the Isaiah Bible study series a while back. And this is a prophecy in verses 13 and 14 of Isaiah 29 of what will happen before Christ returns. Isaiah chapter 29, beginning in verse number 13. Again, a prophecy of what will happen before Christ returns. And this is a prophecy of how his servants will show the wise that they don't understand the truth of God. Verse number 13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths, you know, just giving lip service to God, not wholeheartedly worshiping him or obeying him. Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, that's the path of darkness. That's not the path that we want to be on. This is those who merely worship in lip service, a road of darkness. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work. God says that he is going to be doing a marvelous work. This is going to be happening before the return of Jesus Christ, a time when his work will flourish. I will do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, God says. This is talking about people who are worshiping honestly and sincerely following God's way of life. They're doing a marvelous work. A marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise shall perish, the so-called wise, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Because there are going to be people showing an example of God's way of life. They're going to be doing a marvelous work. It's interesting. Our English phrase, marvelous work, marvelous here, in the Tanakh version of the Hebrew, of the Jewish Study Bible, the word is translated bafflement, bafflement. And the phrase actually reads, bafflement upon bafflement. Now that's kind of, that's interesting to be baffled. Why baffled at this particular time? Baffled because people are showing the wise, the so-called wise, the example of God's way of life, the way that people should be living. And that's the job that we have today. It's work to be done at the end of the age before Jesus Christ returns. Let's go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, talking about the end of the age. Jesus Christ was talking about disciples and what they need to be doing before his return. And the title of this section of scripture is Watch and Pray. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse number 32. Mark 13, verse 32, Christ says, "But of that day," and he's speaking of the day of his return to this earth, the second time that he'll be coming back in glory and power, "but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Then this admonition to disciples, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." In other words, while you have opportunity, be watching and praying. Be building your relationship with God while you have that chance, that opportunity. Continuing on, verse 34. "It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Admonition to not be spiritually sleeping, but awake and watching. Going back to verse number 34, notice the admonition, "and to each his work." Christ, as the living head of the church, has given us work to do. It's like the opening of the parable of the talents, where he gave a set of talents, 10 to one person and 5 to another and 1 to another, and each one was expected to grow and increase his talents. And that's what Christ expects us to do, with the opportunity to work on what we have. And we're also warned about not sleeping on the job. We want to be doing the work that God has given to us, that of being a light and example to the world. I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew 24:46, Christ said, "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." So doing the work that we've been given to do. The faithful servant will go about his duties diligently and responsibly, being a light and an example. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I want to focus on verses 19 through 21. This is a section that's dedicated to believing and following Jesus Christ. And Christ tells us the road that we need to be on to be following him. John chapter 3. And let's pick it up at verse number 18. John 3 and verse 18, Christ says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19, "And this is the condemnation," or we could say verdict, "that light has come into the world." And who is that light that has come into the world? Jesus Christ. "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Christ came into the world preaching. He came into the world, lowered himself down from the Godhead to become a human being. After he was baptized, he went into Galilee preaching the gospel message, was preaching powerfully to the people. And what did the Jews want to do? They wanted to kill him for the message he was preaching. "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light." They don't come to Jesus Christ to abide in him and develop a relationship with him, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21, and here's the path that we want to be on. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen," that our example can be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Light has been revealed to us, and we want to walk in what God has revealed to us. Light shows the wrong way that a person is going, and we want to be practicing the truth each and every day of our lives. Let's go forward a few pages to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And notice verse 4 and 5. Talking about work. Christ knew the work that the Father had given him to do. And he was going to fulfill and finish the work that the Father had given him to do. And likewise, we have work. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. Christ said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. You know, while I have opportunity and while I'm still on this earth, I must continue the work. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And verse number 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Christ said that I am the light of the world. And his motive was to finish the work that the Father had given him to do. And we have opportunity to do work as well. And we must be motivated and take advantage of the time that we have to do that work, to be those examples that God wants us to be. Christ is the light of the world, he says in verse number 5. And as individuals, we have the work of being lights. People who are worshiping honestly and sincerely and doing a marvelous work, preaching the gospel message by their lives. Christ said in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, we read about disciples who are doing that marvelous work, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They are overcoming obstacles. They're repenting of their sins and being lights to the world. Very, very important that we keep on that path of light. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I want to read verses 5 through 7. The Apostle John was one of those disciples that followed Jesus Christ, saw his mighty works, heard the powerful sermons that he gave, and he knew the importance for us to be following in his footsteps and following that path. 1 John chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. John writes, this is the message which we have heard from him. And of course, again, he was following Jesus Christ. He heard that message. And declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, he says. We already read previously that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Here John is telling us that God is light. And this refers to God's moral character. As it says here in the last part of verse number 5, in him is no darkness at all. God is holy, untouched by any evil or sin. And darkness in Scripture is the opposite of light, and it's the wrong path. It's not the path that we want to be on. Verse number 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So important for us to be focused, to be staying on that path of light as we go forward. Verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We don't want to be on the path of darkness. Darkness can affect us in the form of spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness, which we don't want to have any part of. It can be part of obscurity, secrecy, and deception. And people who do those kind of things, they're walking in darkness. So as we continue on in this sermon now, let me ask a question. What can we do to be the kind of light and example of God's way of life? What can we be doing now, especially in a world of darkness? Well, first of all, what we can be doing to be the kind of light and example of God's way of life, and this connects with Pentecost, which we just recently celebrated, ask God's help through the Holy Spirit to walk in His light. Let me repeat that. Ask for God's help through the Holy Spirit to walk in His light. We have to have God's help to stay on the right path. And there's a promise. God gave a promise through Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I want to read verses 25 and 26. This is a promise from Jesus Christ of when the Holy Spirit would come, what it would be doing for disciples. John chapter 15. And of course, we've talked about this much in the past in sermons, that this is the section of Scripture where the disciples had partaken of the New Testament symbols of the Passover with Christ. They left the upper room and they're walking towards Gethsemane, where he'd be arrested, tried, and put to death. And he's pouring out his heart to the disciples, especially teaching them of the Holy Spirit that would be there to help them on that day of Pentecost when it would come. John chapter 15 and verse number 26. And this is a promise from Christ. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, and the Helper is in the Greek, the Comforter, the Parakletos in the Greek, the one that comes alongside to give aid, gives us spiritual aid. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, it will testify of me. So that Holy Spirit was promised to be the Helper, the Comforter that would come alongside to give aid, spiritual aid to disciples. And verse 27, talk about help. And you also will bear witness. How will we bear witness? By our light and by our example, living God's way of life. And that Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Even with our human nature, our humanity that pulls against us and wants to try to get us, and we have an enemy that wants to bring us down as well. That Holy Spirit helps us to bear witness of God's way of life. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Helper, the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside to give aid, spiritual aid, to be a light and example. And again, he says, you will bear witness. And by the means of the help from the Holy Spirit, it will help us to witness God's way of life. Let's drop over to chapter 16, verse 13, the first part. Verse 13 of chapter 16. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, notice, it will guide you into all truth. Remember we read that psalm about God's word gives us understanding in our mind, is the entrance to our minds, gives us light. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, to stay in the truth and to learn and grow from the truth. And that help can help us to be the example and to continue on the right path of light. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Very familiar section of Scripture here in the book of Romans. And the Apostle Paul was talking about the mind that follows Christ and follows God and His way of life. Spiritually minded. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God's Spirit leads us. It guides us to go on to become a part of the family of God, to really have spiritual progress in our lives. And that God's Spirit helps us to do that. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Boy, we all have weaknesses, don't we? But God's Holy Spirit helps us in those weaknesses. And He gives us an example in the last part of verse 26. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul used the example of not knowing what we should pray for as we ought to. You know, sometimes that happens to us. You know, we can have the situation or times in our life when you think, okay, now what do I need to be praying for this evening when I get on my knees and pray to God? But the Holy Spirit can help us to make those prayers more effective. And we can ask for that help to make those prayers more effective. And not only that, but whatever trials and weaknesses that we come upon, the difficulties, the Holy Spirit helps us in those struggles. It's difficult for us to do it on our own, but we have help. And it can help us to stay on the path of light. And remember that. I want to be an example of God's way of life. Help me, God, through means of your Holy Spirit, that I can stay on that path of light. A second way of continuing on the path of light is keep building your relationship with God in Christ. Keep building your relationship with God in Christ. That helps us to stay on that path of light. 1 John chapter 2, we'll go back there again. This time we're going to read verses 3 through 6 of 1 John chapter 2. And John specifically is talking about our relationship with God in Christ here, in the way that he describes it, to know him, he says. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. Now by this we know that we know him, you know, abiding in him, developing that relationship, if we keep his commandments, keeping those commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse number 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. We want to have more of God's love in our lives, and not only to show to our brethren and to our fellow man, but to be developing that relationship with God in Christ. And we can develop that by keeping his word. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Building our relationship, abiding in him, walking as Christ walked. In our prayer, in our Bible study, help connect us with God, to help us build that relationship. God's word is God speaking to us as we study the Bible in his word. In our prayer life is us speaking to God, that communication between God and ourselves. And it's so very, very important to walk as he walked. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 actually gives us a formula for seeking God. And you're going to notice as we read this through this section of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, that we see this word if repeated many, many times. If you do this, these are going to be the results. Proverbs chapter 2. Again, this is a formula for seeking after God, to develop that relationship with him that we want to be developing. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. My son, and here's the first if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, you know, God's word is like treasure to us. We want more and more of it. Most people in the world, they want money, they want silver and gold. We want God's word as our treasure to take into our lives. If you receive my words and treasure my commands, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. This verse 2 is talking about the effort that we put in inclining our ear, applying our heart. Verse number 3, yes, if, here's another if you cry out for discernment. We can do that in our prayer life. God, help me to understand more of your word. Give me better discernment to understand more. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, for spiritual understanding, lifting up our voice in our prayers. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. You know, if we knew that in our backyard there was a hidden treasure there, a treasure chest, we'd be out there with a shovel digging, trying to dig that treasure up. And the picture here is of seeking God's word as hidden treasure and seeking after him as hidden treasure. And here's the results then in verse number 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That effort that we put forward in our prayer and our Bible study will yield results. Yield results. Understanding the fear of the Lord and finding the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. We have that in front of us here, the Bible, the scriptures, his word of truth. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And that's what we want to be continuing to develop, that relationship with our great God, seeking after him, studying his word, that knowledge and understanding, that's hidden treasure for us, and also speaking to him, crying out for discernment and understanding in our prayers. That's a way that we can continue as we develop our relationship with God in Christ. We can stay on the path of light and be those examples. Another way to stay on the path of light and be those examples is to keep focused on the kingdom of God. Keep focused on the kingdom of God, that our walk is going forward. You know, we also saw in the last Bible study in Jeremiah chapter 7, where Jeremiah was giving the temple sermon. He touched on the time when the children of Israel, those that came out of the slavery of Egypt by God's mighty hand and his miracles, and they didn't go into the promised land, did they? Instead of going forward into the promised land, they went backward, and they died in the desert. And the admonition is for us to go forward and not backward, spiritually speaking. And to do that, we must keep our focus on the kingdom. Seek God's kingdom first, as Christ said, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We want to keep our walk going forward, especially on the path of light. James chapter 1, and verse number 12. I really enjoyed this particular scripture. I want to say it's one of my favorite scriptures because it talks about the specialness of our calling and what we are doing as disciples, and we're going forward and what we achieve in this great calling that God has given to us and the work that we have ahead of us. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Starts out with that word blessed. Blessed spiritually speaking. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, as we go forward from Pentecost and go forward towards the fall holy days, we want to be growing in the fruits of the Spirit. We want to be growing in character. Notice the progression here in verse number 12. Blessed, it starts out with, to those who have been had the truth revealed to them. God's truth, his way of life. For when he has been approved, he rises above, he wins the battle, he's an overcomer. He receives the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Our character gets tested along the way, but there's a goal. That crown of life is there, promised to those who love God and are developing that relationship with him. So focus on the promise during the days and months ahead, especially when you're faced with trials and difficulties. We can be those overcomers, and we can be growing in character as we walk on the path of light. Jeremiah chapter 17, we'll eventually get to this in the Bible study series. This is another one of those contrast sections, contrasting those who trust in God and those who do not trust in God. Unfortunately, the people that Jeremiah was speaking to, they were not trusting in God at all. They had completely turned their backs on him. And that's not what we want to be doing. We want to be focused in going forward. Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to be reading verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. And throughout mankind's history, that's been a leading factor, trusting in man and not trusting in God. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And Jeremiah was making a point to the people he was speaking to in that day. They were not trusting in God, and their heart had departed from the Lord. Now he gives a picture of what it looks like to be for somebody to have their heart departed from the Lord. Verse 6, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. You know, if you look at pictures of desert scenes, it can be just all sand and sand. And maybe you see kind of in the distance a lone shrub out there in the middle of this desert sand. That's the picture here. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Those who do not trust in the Lord, they don't see the good when it comes. They're alone and isolated. But the contrast here is in verse number 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Not only blessed physically, but more importantly, spiritually speaking. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, building that relationship with God, and whose hope is in the Lord. Here's the results of that. Verse 8. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. You know, you see trees lined along a river, and they're flourishing and they're growing because they have that access to the water with their roots. And that's the picture here as well, flourishing and growing. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, heat being symbolic of trials. Your trust in God, you won't fear when the trials come. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Spiritual progress, spiritual flourishing for those who trust in God. And when we're focused on the kingdom, going forward in our spiritual walk, it will help us to stay on that path of light. One who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord is building a relationship with God and making spiritual progress. To finish the sermon today, let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52. And we're going to read a prophecy about preaching the gospel message before Jesus Christ returns. And this is a very wonderful scripture in Isaiah 52 and verse number 7. Because it shows the picture of the gospel message being preached and then moving forward to Christ actually ruling and what will be taking place. Isaiah chapter 52, and we went through this in the Isaiah Bible study series, and verse number 7. Verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains, and the mountains here are symbols of nations, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And what's good news? The gospel of the kingdom. That was the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. The feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, that finally there will be peace upon this planet, who brings glad tidings of good things, you know, not horrible things that we hear about in today's news, in today's world. There's going to be good things talked about. People are going to be progressing and living their lives according to God's way of life, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation. Salvation will be taught, and the opportunity for salvation will be taught to many, 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 many millions of people in that day. Who proclaims to salvation, who says to Zion, Jerusalem, your God reigns. And of course, that hasn't happened yet, but it will happen in the future. And when Christ is ruling upon this world, on this earth, there will be wonderful changes, and finally we will have peace. But the description here is, how beautiful the feet of those who spread the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. Not only the church preaching the gospel message throughout the world, but us also. We have a part in that. We have work to do through our lives. Good news brought by our examples in the light of our lives to other people. This prophecy also applies to us. Our lives are a way for people to realize that there is moral character in this world, that there are people who are living God's way of life, and that they will eventually realize that a prophet had been among them. It is so important for us as we go forward now from the Feast of Pentecost to the fall holy days. It's important for us to continue to walk in God's light, because there's great danger if we do not. If we don't follow God's way of life, his light, we can fall. We can stumble into darkness. So as we go forward from Pentecost now towards the fall festival season, picturing more important steps in God's plan of salvation for mankind and what God has planned for all of us, let's examine ourselves to see if we truly are on the path that God wants us to be on, and determine to use, practice, and walk in the light of God's word. Let's be those living examples to the rest of the people on this planet.